Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I want to give a shout out to Ruben and his podcast, Hoops and Hefeweizen, which is a Mavs-orientated podcast. Thank you for all your support.
Welcome to another Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I am Ruben Thomas.
I am Edmund Stevenson.
And I am still Tim this week.
Okay, so Edmund Stevenson obviously being Grant every goddamn week, man. So there was actually some actual Dallas Mavs news this week. We're going to go through real quick. Basically, what happened this week is that Courtney Lee got injured somehow. I don't think they ever disclosed how it happened. You guys can correct me on that if I'm wrong. On top of that,
freak accident.
Yeah, freak accident, which, I mean, like, there's so many different things that you could even say, like, about that. So, you know, just, it's all hypotheticals at this point. Willie Cauley-Stein decided that he's not going to participate in the bubble because he has a child on the way. So, good luck to him. That kind of makes things a little weird for us, but that's fine. I think because of our big death isn't too much. You know, it's a little lacking right now, but whatever. On top of that, you know, Ryan Brokhoff, unfortunately, decided to go ahead and, you know, sign somewhere else. He went with the Phillies, and I'm happy for him, dude. Phillies. I just went for. Sorry, Bryce texted me. He went to the Sixers, and. You know, happy for him. You know, he's gonna hopefully get some play time. He's playing with his countryman Ben Simmons now, so you know, just good for him. What else happened? Oh, the last thing, which you know, I'm crediting Grant on this, but we signed Trey Burke. So Grant, do you have anything you want to say about Trey Burke at this point?
Trey Burke played amazing last year for us. I think there was one game where he had 25 and 8. I think he's just one of those guys that fits super duper well in Carlisle's system, obviously, because Carlisle loves his point guards. I feel like he's more needed than a big right now for the Orlando bubble. I think the Mavs' glaring issue is big men going forward, but for the Orlando bubble, specifically, a point guard is what we needed. And shout out to the people at Blue Hardwood who mentioned Trey Burke first.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you have any thoughts, Tim, on any of that? Or
yeah, especially with Burke, I just think it's important that he had that experience here because we've seen Rick in the past have a tough, especially at point guard, trusting someone like handing the keys to the offense. So the fact that he showed out for us a little bit last year and then we were able to bring him back in, like, just having Rick trust and already, like, flourished in Rick's system is going to be really important because, you know, this whole thing's going to be a madness a little bit. So, yeah, I'm glad we brought him in.
Yeah, he's played with Tim Hardaway for like 4 years now, and he's played with KP too before. So
yeah, he knows those guys, and that's good. Like,
yeah, shout out to my friend Brent who's listening, who texted me all excited about the U of M fan. So
that's always good.
I don't like the Wolverines, but I'm glad we got a couple of them right now.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. So besides that, I mean, that's really kind of all that's happened with Mavs news. I know that, like, Dwight Powell has been really involved with, like, the leadership team for the you know, the player association, which is good. Not quite sure how much, but Chris Paul apparently speaks highly of him, which if you're getting props from Chris Paul on anything, I think that's a good sign, you know. Besides,
except not having your jersey tucked in.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's fucking sucked. I remember that. thank you for keeping me in check on that. So, the other news, obviously, is that NBA news is that there has been 16 players out of the 302 that have been tested that have COVID. Right now, that's not too much of a big deal just because it doesn't seem like most of those, I don't think any of those guys are showing any symptoms. Obviously, they're going to be quarantined for 2 weeks and then sent back back to the bubble. I mean, honestly, dude, I'm surprised it was that low. Like only 16 guys out of 300. I think that's
16.
I think that's only like zero. I think it's 0.05 of the entire.
Yeah, 0.05. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is.
I'd be curious to see if they could go back and retest for that antibodies test just to get a number there. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's 16 out of 302, I think that's like 3% or whatever. Like. That number's coming in definitely lower than what I thought it'd be, but definitely not anywhere near probably the total case numbers we've had so far.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be really good to kind of see like who's got the antibodies, who's kind of had to deal with this already. And then just for kind of data collection more than anything, because this is probably something we're still going to be dealing with next year too, you know?
Yep. And I mean, they were tested on this past Tuesday, you know, and then the league, you know, obviously said, hey, guess what? You know, people have COVID right now. And I mean, that's what's so scary about this like thing is that like you either show symptoms or you don't. If you don't show symptoms, it's just like this whole thing about like, oh shit, like how many people did I interact with before? Like, you know, they have to do the whole contact tracing thing and, you know, just one of those things that it's just, it's a little scary. I know like Adam Silver, you know, was talking about, you know, the bubble and how like there's always going to be a risk. And, you know, like obviously these guys are like in the tip top shape, like of any human being. So they should be fine. Should be, you know, there always might be an outlier, but until it happens, like we can just hope for the best. And for right now, basketball's back, you know, so I'm not too upset, so. Hey guys, this is Ruben again. You know, there's no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. You know, it's great because the sports world is slowing to come back, right? Especially with the NBA. And that's great for us because we are an NBA podcast and more specifically a Dallas Mavericks podcast. But that's not all though. Like at betonline.ag, they have UFC, they have boxing, they have NASCAR, which I know Grant is super excited about. And they have international soccer, meaning Bundesliga and EPL happening as of right now. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for these upcoming games and matches. And if you need more, BetOnline, they do simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC games and matches happening live every day. And that's mostly for like devout gamblers who, you know, that's something they can check out. And it's cool because BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and they have the best props in the business. So you can visit betonline.ag on your computer, on your tablet, or on your phone, especially while you're listening to this podcast. And if you join now, you can receive a welcome bonus, which is awesome, especially for someone like me who doesn't really do betting yet, but this may be the thing that kind of gets me into it, which is really awesome. So remember, betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. Aside from that, though, I mean, I'm trying to think of any other news that's has been released. Do you guys know anything?
Other than the schedule, which I'm sure we're about to talk
really
about.
Weird, yeah. It's just still really weird that this bubble is going to be taking place in probably the worst state possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Hashtag Florida man. But yeah, I guess if it is a bubble, then if they are able to maintain the bubble, that's really good. I know like last week, I think I talked about concerns about like employees being able to do what they want.
Yeah.
But I actually hadn't read this, but I heard Mark Cuban interview with Bad Radio on the Ticket yesterday. And he said those employees that are coming in and out aren't going to have contact with any of the teams or the players.
Okay, that's good.
So that was kind of a that was a revelation to me a little bit, that like the cooks and everything, like they're going to keep them separated, so they won't actually like be interacting with the players, which there's probably more ideal ways, but like this is probably as good as we're going to get it. So it was like just good to hear that at least.
All right. And
definitely.
And then, of course, the big news was that the schedule got released for the rest of the regular season. So how are we feeling about it? How do we feel about, you know, who our opponents are? And what do you guys think our actual record's going to be to end off the season?
I think at the very least we go 5-3. I don't see a – we play Phoenix twice. We play Portland at the very end. They're going to be, like, well out of it by the time we get to them, I think. We also play Sacramento. I feel like, you know, we do drop games against easy teams, so I wouldn't put it past us to lose one or two of those. But then our only real difficult game, I think, is the Clippers and the Rockets. I think we'll still beat up on the Rockets. I think Milwaukee, by the time we get to them, which they're our fifth game, I don't think they'll have much to play for. So I feel like they'll probably just be getting their, like, lower tier guys some more reps. Giannis might barely play if he does play at all. And the Jazz, I don't know at all about. I think they're the biggest wild card in this whole tournament. They could either turn it on or go way, way down.
Okay.
I think we end up going 5-3 or 6-2.
What do you think, Tim?
I think if we open up with a win against Houston, which is definitely doable, because I think Kristaps is just a nightmare match. The Rockets and how they play. So if we can open up with that win, I'd see 6-2 really, really easily. I guess not easily, but it's easy to envision. And then if we can get to 6-2, I think that moves us up for seed, you know? It's huge, because that's – and if we get to the 4 seed, honestly, we could be right back to playing Houston in the first round very easily. So, like, just give me all of that Houston matchup. It's kind of what I'm wanting for this entire bubble.
So I'm looking at the schedule right now. I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I'm probably thinking 5-3 is probably like the most realistic, like most like tempered expectation. Like obviously on Twitter, I go like 8-0, 8-0. Like when people ask me, I'm like 8-0, but like the actual me is like like probably like 5-3. Like I don't think we can do any worse than that. Like I think a lot of guys are going to be, like, a little sluggish and, you know, for other teams. Like, I don't know. Like, again, like, with Houston, like, they just, you know, they have, I don't know how well Harden's going to be, like, starting back up. And, you know, again, like, they have a small forward at center and stuff like that. So, I don't know, man. I think our big challenges are going to be the Clippers and Milwaukee, obviously. Like, those are two favorites to, like, either go all the way or at least be in the finals. So, you know, I have a pretty good, in my head, I feel pretty good about this stuff though.
So I have a question for both of y'all. When we are finally able to go back to the AAC and see a game, how dope is it going to be to see the 2020 Southwest Division champions like banner hanging from the rep?
That'll be great, dude. Don't the Clippers do that though? Like they have like the
Pacific. It'll be awesome.
We do it. We have two of them. We have the 2010. We have the 2010 up there, and then we have one of the like 2007 ones up there.
I did not know that's hilarious.
I mean,
it'll be great to see that banner. I just got to go back to my Bet Online account and see if I'm actually going to get paid for my preseason bet, because I did bet that we would win the Southwest Division.
Oh shit!
I mean, Houston 6.
I thought the Rockets. I thought the would be terrible. I'm not going to lie.
Good plug. Good plug. By the way, Bet Online. Good job. I mean, that's kind of it when it comes to Mavs stuff. I think like the whole, you know, NBA schedule. Like I've been looking at other players, other teams' schedules, and I'm looking at like. The Pelicans have like the most like cupcake like ass like schedule ever. Like it's absolute bullshit, dude. Like I know people like were joking about that, like when they were talking about coming back, like, you know, their schedule would be like super easy. And I was like, oh, like they'll be fair about it. But honestly, bro, like it looks pretty like they could easily maybe make it into the playoffs. which I hate. So
I was kind of upset when I first saw it. Y'all know how much I love my Grizzlies, but I think the idea of a play-in tournament between New Orleans and Memphis is going to be so fun. So I hope that ends up happening. But I still do want the Grizzlies to get the 8 seed.
That's right, because they're doing the play-in tournament for the 8-9 seed, right? Which is a new little wrinkle, and I depending on how it goes this season, I don't know if I want it to be like a permanent thing or just like a one-off thing, but I mean, obviously they're going to get a little creative for this little bubble thing. Mm-hmm. I think the play-in tournament's also, it's already been a thing that the NBA has been wanting to do. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody, really, at this point. Unless you're the 8 or 9 seed, you know, then you get to play another one. Nothing's guaranteed, you know.
And now's the ideal time for, like, every sport to be throwing stuff up against the wall to see what sticks and to be trying new things. Like, because the legitimacy of it all is going to get questioned anyway, so if you're going to have to answer those questions, like, try some new stuff, be entertaining, like, kind of be on the cutting edge with stuff. Don't make your bubble or however you're playing, like, the same old boring shit. Like, try your new stuff out that people have been wanting for a while anyway, you know?
Yeah, I agree, man. I think that's a good way to look at it, too, man. It's like, now's the time to just be weird with it. So, you know, just do whatever you want to do and kind of go from there. So, besides that, there's nothing really else to talk about. So, guys, you guys asked us so many questions this week. So we're going to go ahead and get into that in a second once I pull them up because I'm not prepared. let's see. Where are these questions?
Real quick, though. There is one more thing I wanted to bring up before we get to the questions, though. And as we all saw this week, one of the GOATs, probably the best in-game dunker and, you know, one of the most epic dunk in U.S. basketball history. Vince Carter retired. We all remember the huge shot he hit against the Spurs as a Maverick. So just wanted to give a quick shout out to Vince Sanity because, that guy, like, why I got into basketball starting around age 10 and just, he was just such a legend. Like, he was almost a myth growing up. Like, I just remember he was one of the first players where I remember, like, highlights outside of actual games, NBA games, like the dunk race and then everything he did in dunk contests before I knew much about like his actual on-court game. And so like the legend, I think, of him going and graduating from UNC and then flying to play in a playoff game that night, like he's just like, and he was a great Maverick. So just wanted to throw that little plug in there real quick because I am going to miss watching Vince Carter play.
So him and Michael Jordan are like the guys like I kind of grew up with, right? Like those are the two guys like before I even like knew who Dirk was. So, you know, dude was a badass. It really, really sucks that he decided. Oh, I mean, he's also really old in NBA terms. And, you know, like I totally see why he's, you know, hanging him up now. But I just wish he went to a contender, dude. I would have not cared if he just like Lakers bench, you know, or whatever. Like, I wouldn't care. Like, I would have loved it, but
yeah,
it is what it is. I'm gonna miss Vince. Or the Raptors. Yeah, I would have, dude. If he ended like his career on the Raptors roster, fuck, like that would have been so great. I would have loved it, but it is what it is. So now that we did that, now we're gonna go ahead and get into our questions. So the first one I'm gonna read comes from Isaac, who we actually did a fan pod with. I believe it was a few pods ago. So if you're interested in that, go and listen to it. So he asks, thoughts on how Trey Burke will do in place of Jalen Brunson in Orlando? I personally think he's going to do great because he knows the system. Like, he's already been in the system. He kind of knows, like, he knows a lot of the players already. Like, there might be one or two faces that he hasn't met yet. Like, and I think they'll be quick to like kind of get to know them, especially when they're in a bubble and can't really like hang out with too many people anyway. You know, again, like he put up 25, you know, sometime with us last year. Like, he's gonna be fine. I'm gonna like him on our team. So.
It's like I said earlier. I think he's played. You know, he hasn't played with KP yet, but he's played with Luka. He's played with Dirk. He's basically played with everyone on the team, and he's played with KP, but just not here. And I think he's literally perfect for what Rick Carlisle is trying to do. I will miss Brunson, though, because we are not very deep at point guard.
Yeah, exactly.
We're very deep at guard, but not point guard. So I think he is a perfect fit. And the only other guy I wanted more than him was Iman Shumpert. Just because we need a lot more help on the wing. But getting point guard help for this bubble is going to be exactly what we needed to help put us over the top, hopefully.
Yeah, I just think with the fact that he's had experience with us before, like I said earlier, just in the most like unstable situation in league history that we're headed into, it's good to have like stability, especially a point guard. I'm glad we know Rick Truss.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, next question comes from Mavs Network. And this is one that I know Grant has been like waiting for this entire time. Do you want me to read it, or do you want to do the honors?
Oh, you can read it. Okay. I'll give you the...
All right, because this is mostly Grant's question. So, who would you pick to win the finals? A, any current NBA team that's in, like, you know, Lakers, Clips, Bucks, etc. Or B, a 15-man roster of the best players staying at the Disney Yacht Club. Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, Suns, Spurs, and Wizards. So, Grant, you take the reins here, dude.
So, I'm not sure about Lillard playing, but I didn't realize he said 15. I have a list of 12 players. If they played against any of those regular teams, this team would be a force to be reckoned with, at least. But I have Lillard. The starting five is Lillard, Beal, Ingram, Zion, and Ayton. And then you have seven bench dudes. You have Lonzo Ball, CJ McCollum, Devin Booker, Kelly Oubre, Delonte Murray, Buddy Hield, and Harrison Barnes. I do not see a scenario in which that team can't score 150 points a night. And they don't have a lot of defense. I think Ingram and Murray and Oubre kind of like hold their defense. So they might have to allow 140 points a night. But I think that team, the team of yacht clubs, would probably would wear down a team like LA or Milwaukee, because I just don't feel like those teams really have depth. Whereas this team would literally have three all-stars on the bench. So thank you for that amazing question, Mavs Network. And we have another question from Lane. I didn't get to do much research on because I was too busy focusing on that question.
Yeah, so we'll get to that one a little bit, because I think I might have been the only one who actually looked into it a little bit. do you have any thoughts on that, Tim?
I would honestly take that roster in a 7-game series versus probably anyone in the bubble. Like, it's just insanely deep. Like, they're going to be able to run anybody off the floor. Mm-hmm. Coaching would probably have a lot to do with it. So I guess, were we able to pick a coach out of those teams? I mean, Pop.
Spurs, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be Spurs.
Yeah, Pop coaching that team. Yeah, I think that team would win it all.
I think that should be part of it. If they do a tournament, that should be like one of the things they do. Like almost like an all-star team. Like, you know, just like have like the reigning NBA champ go against like a team of just like the lesser teams, you know, like just like their best players. That'd be fun, actually.
Or Adam Silver could Galaxy.
Lottery all-stars.
He could be like, oh, well, Zion and the Pelicans couldn't get in, so let's just put all these guys on one team and see what happens. See if they can beat the group.
Oh, man, that'd be fun. That would be a really fun team.
Oh, I was going to say, instead of that 8-9 play-in game, they just do a 8-seed of Team Disney and make it that roster.
Bro, that'd be fun.
And just completely screw over the Lakers.
They should put that in 2K.
Yes, I would love that, dude. Okay, so next one comes from...
Are we going to get the bubble next year in 2K?
We should.
That sounds too innovative for 2K, but I'll save that for another.
Maybe NBA Live will do it. I don't know. So, next question comes from Mavsaholic, Ghostface Drill 1, who is a great dude on Twitter. So, I feel bad because Bryce isn't here to defend himself, but who would win a fight? Me, Reddit Mavericks, or Bryce? I give it to Bryce, just because I wouldn't want to fight him.
Yeah, it's definitely Bryce. How could you know Bryce? Look at Bryce and think, man, I want to punch this dude. Like, no one can do it, especially you.
Yeah, I couldn't. There's no way I can fight Bryce.
No way.
No. If he killed, like, my mom, maybe, but, like that'd be, like...
Oh, God.
What do you think, Tim?
I mean, yeah, all he has to do is, like, on your hard drive, and we're good to go.
So, yeah, we got Bryce for giving you that one, because you're not here. Okay, AJ Stamps, another guest of the podcast, for a fan podcast, he asks, is Luka the greatest 20-year-old ever?
Besides me when I was 20.
I mean, okay, so Luka is an MVP candidate, right, at 20. When I was 20, I snuck into a bar to watch the last to watch the finals for the Mavericks in 2011. So who really is the winner here? Like, you know,
I think it's you.
Luka can't do that. You know, Luka can do that.
If he wins finals MVP, maybe he can contest with that. Maybe. But I don't think, I think he got that one in the bag.
Yeah, I don't even know who his competition is. Like, NBA-wise at this point, I don't know. But yeah. Life-wise, gosh, hell, life-wise, he probably doesn't have much competition either.
No. His life is set, man. He's only, like, 21. It's such bullshit. Anyway, I'm just jealous. Okay, Panda Hank. I love you, Panda Hank. He asks, when the Mavs win the championship in October, what do y'all think they'll do about the parade, since everyone would probably still have to be social distancing? I say have the parade as it is, but have every like have them like live stream it and have like cameras like on each other's heads. Like, I want a Boban cam, you know, just like how I feel like to be that tall and stuff like that. And just like, you know, talking to the guys, and you can like enter in and people can like from their apartments or whatever, their office buildings, like, you know, hang out there and stuff like that. That's what I would think they would do if they win the championship and there's a parade. So
yeah, definitely. Like, it's probably too early to implement the VR technology to have a VR parade, but definitely an interactive parade that you could watch on your phone or do something, or something where the even like a panel, like a Comic-Con panel of all the players and coaches just like talking about, you know, everything that went into Orlando. I think that would be incredible. I would like that more than a parade.
For the 48 hours or 72 hours after we win the championship, I want whoever's going to be the Deshaun Stevenson of this team to just have a GoPro on his head at all times. And I can just live through that instead of actually going to the parade. So think, like, if we were to – whoever does win it this year, like, whatever city it does happen for, so say it was Dallas, like, I just watched the outside of Anfield and a lot of areas in Liverpool when Liverpool won the championship other day. Like, especially Americans, we're not smart enough. We're not going to be able to handle that. Like, whatever downtown or outside of whatever region is just going to be crazy packed.
Ugh, yeah, it is.
There's not going to be much social distancing for whatever city wins the title.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see that happening too. Right. All right, let's see. Let's move on. Oh my God, here we go. Okay, here's the one that we were supposed to be researching for. Lane, my good friend Lane, who asks good, thoughtful questions every week, asks, what do you think of white holes? The theoretical opposite of black holes. Or do you think that they exist? If so, do you think of it more likely that they are near instantaneous gamma ray bursts or possible end-to-end points of where black holes would lead, like wormholes? So, Last night, I went on Wikipedia and, like, read the Wikipedia article. And I might as well just, like, had been reading, like, a different fucking language. Because when you go to Wikipedia, you expect, like, you know, it to be, like, more, like, common, like, language, right? Like, you would hope they would break it down a little bit better for you, right? They really didn't. And, but from what I've been gathering about, so a black hole, you know, sucks in light. Light can't escape, right? A white hole is opposite, like everything like escapes it, like things come out of it. So theoretically for me, it would be like a wormhole type thing where, and that would help with like probably space travel in the future of just, you know, it's a wormhole, like black hole on one end and a white hole on the other end, but it had to be like one way, unless there was like a black hole close to the white hole where you're at, which would take you back. But I mean, science and humankind isn't that far enough I think to be able to create the technology and use it well. So, you know, it's a while, but theoretically, I think it is a wormhole, basically.
So you're telling me that your degree is not in quantum physics?
Absolutely not. I wish it was now, because...
Okay. Well, Lane, I really wanted to answer this question very badly, but Mavs Network's question is so good that I spent my research time answering that one instead. But after this pod, I will go hang out with my friend Mary Jane, and we will watch Interstellar, and I will get you a better answer next time.
Yeah, I was gonna say this reminds me of like whatever gets spit out at the other end, if it is like a wormhole like that, like it's just the entire movie Interstellar. That's what we're living in.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to try to mess with the kind understanding. Try to mess with understanding the kind of physics language that I would need to answer this properly. But whereas I hope it's like some third dimension weird shit on the other side that we all have access. Like basically just your best mushroom trip. That's what I'll say it is. That's what's on the other end of a white hole.
So I won't get it. Never mind.
Yeah, hold on, man. Like people listen to this. Okay, wait. Let's see. Yeah. So anyway, so Dalton Trigg, who also hosts his own podcast, Step Back, really cool podcast. I love the fact that, you know, there are many different types of podcasts out there for Mav stuff. You know, we're just one branch of it, and they're another branch, and you know, it's all good. He asks, okay, Mississippi is probably going to change its state flag soon, which I didn't know what the Mississippi flag looked like until I looked it up, and I was like, oh, that's super problematic. Do you think my proposal of Brett Favre doing the Johnny Bravo pose will be rejected? So in case you guys don't know, the Mississippi flag is basically just like a flag that has the Confederate flag in it. So, I mean, that should have not been a flag in the first place. So, I think it depends on how that is, on the Brett Favre Johnny Bravo pose is depicted. I don't think it will be rejected outright. I think they'll definitely take in consideration. So I don't think it'll be rejected, though. So.
Yeah, instead of Brett Favre, they should do the Cowboys' backup quarterback, Dak Prescott. That's just my opinion.
I'll say it should be Mississippi football related, but I'd go one of two things. Since Eli Manning went the original Eli Manning dumb faces in an Ole Miss helmet from college, or from just this past fall, this last college season when Mississippi State and Ole Miss played in the Egg Bowl, and I think the guy, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, got a 15-yard penalty that cost him the game because he celebrated a touchdown by crawling on all fours, then lifting his leg up like he was a dog pissing on a fire hydrant. Like, just that image. And it was also, like, depending on which side you were on, one of the worst gambling beats or best gambling beats of, like, people's lives. Because it, like, that. But yeah, just that image of a wide receiver, like, lifting his leg up and pissing on a fire hydrant. That should be their flag.
I even saw that. But right. No, side note.
Yeah, they got memes pretty quick.
Phillip Rivers is better than Eli. Next question.
I mean, I agree with that. But, okay. Next question comes from Nick. NRD underscore, cool dude on Twitter. He asks what everybody's Canes order is when you go get Canes. I haven't gotten Canes in a long time. Last time I went was a couple years ago. I don't really much their chicken too much. But when I do, I usually get a box, have to get the sauce, no coleslaw because I don't really like coleslaw. And I like fries and I like the toast, like extra toast.
Canes is trash. So sorry about that. And you don't like coleslaw?
I don't. I've never liked it, dude. It's a Mexican thing, I think. I don't know.
No.
I don't think Mexican like coleslaw. So you're not going to answer, Grant?
No, Canes.
I'd raise my hand, but I'm only half of one.
Tim, do you have an order for Canes? Or do you not? They don't have it out there, do they?
They don't have Canes in L.A., but they did have one like right off of O Street, which is the big like college bar street in Nebraska. Open closed till 3 a.m. So we got very familiar with Raisin Canes. So I guess just box combo or Caniac combo, whatever. If I'm like, just basically whatever that's got chicken fries and depending on how many people we're trying to feed. But I will say, like, my regular Canes order is usually half eaten and found on the kitchen. So that's the only consistent part about it.
Half eaten and found on the kitchen counter. All right.
I do like the coleslaw though.
So yeah, Raisin Canes will not be asking us to do an ad read for them anytime
soon. Yeah, it looks like it. You fucked that up for us. Anyway, okay, so Reddit Spurs, my arch nemesis on Twitter, asks, if for some reason an apocalypse happened during the NBA's resumed season, which hotel group is most likely to survive? Oh, okay, so I got to think about this because this means you have to look up the hotel groups, right? Hotel.
It's 1 through 4, and each side is in this one. The 5 through 8 is in this one, and then all the rest of the teams are in the yacht club.
That's right, the yacht club, which I think is hilarious because it sounds like so prestigious, but it's not in this case. But
well, it's the last play.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I feel like who would survive? I feel like no matter what, LeBron would try to have the season that happened anyway. So, like, I don't think that he would, like, I don't think he would survive, bro, because I think he'd be worried about just, like, the Lakers winning.
Yeah.
I feel like the Yacht Club, dude, I think the Yacht Club just have, I think they're probably a little dissed, and they're probably like, fuck everybody, like, we'll make sure we survive above anyone else. So, you know, that's just my opinion.
I think the answer in the answer to the question is actually in the reply. Someone said Bobons. I think that is definitely the surefire.
Oh, that's a good one.
Surefire
yeah.
answer.
That was Braxtonius. That's a fucking awesome at.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What do you think, Tim?
I wouldn't want to fight. Like, I'll pick the Yacht Club because I wouldn't want to fight like either Dame or Zion. Like, I think they could like survive. Like, Zion's not human, so he could survive anything. But like. At the same time, I'm going to go back to the phrasing of this question. What do you mean, if the apocalypse happens? We're living it right now, bro. Like, come on.
Yeah.
We're already all surviving it.
Okay, let's see. Next question comes from Tyler Adams, which Tyler is, like, the coolest dude on Twitter. So, follow him if you don't. I think he's actually locked right now.
He's the coolest dude in the Xbox parties, too.
Yeah, still follow him.
He's hilarious.
Still follow him, because, yeah. Anyway, so, and I love this question. We might piss off some people, but if we piss them off, like, you probably should be listening to us anyway. So, does the state flower, the blue bonnet, have more mental capacity than the state governor of Texas? This is for Texas. Yes.
Yeah, but I've been advised to... Yeah, he does. The blue bonnet does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. This is easy.
Say California Tim, you know? Like,
yeah.
He doesn't have to be in this shit, so...
I mean, just like... This is the third state I've lived in, and like going back to when it was Rick Perry and now through Greg Abbott, like the governor of Texas has always been roasted when I've been like living in other states.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just he's yeah.
Because it's like an important enough position to be known nationally, but we're not in a good spot with the governor. I did like a tweet last night that it was like Greg Abbott's playing basically red light, green light with the entire state right now.
Really, that's exactly what it's like. And if you want
fun
to see,
idea though. Yeah.
And if you want to see more of like, if you want to see more government roast, you need to go check Tim's timeline because he does it all the fucking time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't hold back.
No, you don't. Okay. Next question comes from Renegade Jim. He asks, "Will the XFL return in 2021?" Unfortunately, not. I know there are people that were really into it just because it's a different pace of play and stuff like that. I don't think it's coming back, and I don't think that Vince McMahon has any plans to bring it back, unfortunately. So, I mean, I'm sorry, dude. You might need to change your at or your display name on Twitter, because that might be it for the XFL for a while, dude. So.
Yes, but former Los Angeles Charger Cardale Jones is the greatest XFL player of all time, so that's dope.
And coincidentally, the XFL games were drawing about as much as Chargers games usually.
Ha!
He didn't have to adjust much to that when he went to the XFL. Yeah, man. I don't see it coming back, but I do wish they would make a, like, instead of Madden, I would buy a video game if you had, like, last year's this spring's XFL teams and then all the original ones, because I would definitely go, like, rush for 2,000 yards with He Hate Me Right Now, Rod Stewart.
Yes, dude.
I think that's who it was. Rod Smart?
Something, I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's a good question, I just remember He Hate Me, like...
All right,
so sorry to go a little off topic, but Tim, they are bringing back an NFL Street type game, and 2K is going to make it. It's like 7-on-7, like beach or spring football esque. But it's going to be like, you know, kind of like a joking game. So maybe that's something you're interested in.
I think every league should still do that. I know in NHL, they kind of have a 3-on-3, like almost street mode, but it's still on ice. And then in FIFA, they have the Volta or whatever that you can play. Yeah, so like,
there's blacktop.
Every league should do that. I miss, like, NFL Blitz and NHL Hits and AGM and all those games that weren't, like, realistic at all.
NFL Blitz, where you could...
Those were the best. Yeah.
NFL Blitz was the greatest football game ever made.
I was going to say, we're going to get another list check, and I've already looked it up on Amazon. To have the NBA Jam article game in your house is, like, $900.
Hey, man, look at that.
I'm not a rich person, so Amazon's going to be getting my money for that.
So next question comes from Alexis, the real Alexis. Kristaps Porzingis superfan. She asks, are Pop-Tarts calzones? I hate this fucking question so much. good question, though, Alexis. They're big enough to be calzones, so why the fuck not? Just call them calzones. What do you think? What do you think?
Another question I think I might have to go hang out with my friend Mary Jane to find out. But no, I don't think so.
I'm going to say no because, like, calzones, I think, very hot in the middle. And, like, not going to lie, 90% of the time I eat Pop-Tarts just straight out of the bag. I don't mess with the toaster. I will say, though, I saw a new Fruit Loops flavored Pop-Tart at the store. And I will be reporting back soon because they're in my pantry right now.
Oh, my God.
Sounds intriguing. Have you all ever butter on your Pop-Tarts?
No.
Ew!
Dude. What the fuck, dude? No.
What the?
This is a...
Fuck!
Okay, go at not Jack Kemp, Jake Kemp on Twitter about this. Because he said growing up, him and his, like, toast them and then spread butter, like, on the Pop-Tart, and that's how they'd eat them.
God.
I think he mentioned it on It's Just Banner, and I was just like, what in the absolute hell?
Fucking Jay.
I'd rather, like, stomp on mousetrap.
That's some North Rich.
But no, I just wanted to add a note.
Wasaga-ass behavior.
I am definitely the Kristaps Porzingis fanboy here. No one else can take that title.
I know the three of us, but bro, she has you beat by a lot.
I don't have the income to just buy shirts and jerseys.
Well, okay, anyway.
Of one player. I gotta get my Celtics stuff. I gotta get my Celtics stuff.
Those are the screams I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Thank you, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks into multiple peaks. So, guys, this is mostly for the guys. I'm sure women too, but mostly guys. You know, there have been times before where I've definitely cut myself shaving down there, nicked myself. You know, it's a thing that happens. But I mean, guys, you need to start taking notes because Manscaped accidents are going to be a thing of the past pretty soon. So the company Manscaped, they have this thing called the Lawnmower 3.0, which is beautifully designed and helps reduce the painful nicks and tugs that may happen when you're shaving down there. It's their third generation trimmer, and it features advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth, if you like it that way. The Manscaped engineering team assesses over technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. And then they spent 18 months perfecting this new trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0. This thing is premium, guys. Like, it's actually premium. You know, the battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shower or a longer shave while you're doing it. That's good, you know, because you definitely don't want to rush yourself while you're doing stuff like this. It's great too, because as I just said, like, it's, you can do it in the shower too, which means that it's water resistant. It also has a really cool feature called the LED lights, and illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. And also, dude, let's not forget about the charging stand, because that's a really important part when obviously you have an electric trimmer. You're able to show off your mower loud and proud, because the designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. So that's perfect, because I think everything nowadays is done by USB. There are a lot of people on the Lawnmower 3.0 website that have, you know, talked about how it's changed their lives. You know, they even included pics so you could even see the smoothness if you wanted to. And really, honestly, dude, they really aren't kidding. You need to go try this out for yourself, though, man, because it's really, really awesome. And remember, man, you can get a 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code ARMCHAIR. I promise you, your nether regions will absolutely thank you. Hey guys, this is Ruben again. You know, there's no shortage of action going on with our partners over at betonline.ag. You know, it's great because the sports world is slowing to come back, right? Especially with the NBA. And that's great for us because we are an NBA podcast, and more specifically a Dallas Mavericks podcast. But that's not all, though. Like, at betonline.ag, they have UFC, they have boxing, they have NASCAR, which I know Grant is super excited about. And they have international soccer, meaning Bundesliga and EPL happening as of right now. And BetOnline has the best odds and lines for these upcoming games and matches. And if you need more, BetOnline, they do simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC games and matches happening live every day. And that's mostly for like devout gamblers who, you know, that's something they can check out. And it's cool because BetOnline also offers hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, and they have the best props in the business. So you can visit betonline.ag on your computer, on your tablet, or on your phone, especially while you're listening to this podcast. And if you join now, you can receive a welcome bonus, which is awesome, especially for someone like me who doesn't really do betting yet, but this may be the thing that kind of gets me into it, which is really awesome. So remember, betonline.ag, your online wagering experts. Okay, Sean Longley asks, which Grant found out is a Suns fan. Sean Longley asks, best quarantine video game. I think a lot of people will latch on to, you know, Animal Crossing has been like the big one during quarantine. For me,
Warzone.
Yeah, something like where you can interact with people. Obviously, for me though, I don't ever play with people on things usually. So, I've been playing like a lot of, I've been replaying God of War and like Spider-Man and stuff like that. So, personally, because I don't play with people, like I play single player all the time. So,
During the quarantine, I played a lot of GTA, Halo, and more 2K than I would like to admit, because that game is trash, but I definitely had the most fun playing GTA, for sure. I think that's probably, because like Ruben said, or like Red and Maverick said, you can interact with people a lot more, and you can do a lot. It's just an open world, and you don't have to socially distance.
Mine's been FIFA probably the most consistently, and then NHL. I've been ripping Chell lately, but I am getting, so I did get a Nintendo 64 a few weeks back.
Oh, shit.
We've been playing some Mario Kart around the house, but I am getting a Super Smash Brothers in today at some point.
Yes.
So
fuck yeah.
We might put the PS4 up for a little bit, and this might be a weekend for just nothing but like Mario Kart, Mario Party, and then Super Smash Bros.
Nice. Okay. Next question comes from Casey, Casey Dilla, which is a hilarious ass name. She asks, "What are your thoughts on the sports card market?" You know, like, I know, like, it was, like, a big thing, like, in the past. I don't think it's too much of a big thing now, because I know, like, my older cousins would collect cards. And I think a lot of that was because, like, there was no other way to, like, kind of, like, see those players play. Or, like, kind of see, like, their stats online. Like, the internet wasn't really a thing at that point, you know, especially for, like, stats and stuff like that. Now you can log on and go see, like, you know, Barry Bonds' entire career, you know, and stuff like that, or like Will Chamberlain's, you know, career and stuff like that. So I don't think it's as prevalent, but if you're into those, like, that's cool. Like, I just don't think it's, I personally don't think it's too much of a it's not a good investment too much anymore. I might be wrong. I don't know. I haven't had a card collection since I was like 6 or 7. So, but I collected baseball cards. Yeah.
I didn't see this question whenever I was looking through, but you're actually not correct, because my old boss at my last job, he was obsessed with these, like, with these basketball and football cards, but obviously I don't know football. We would talk about it, and then I would tell him so many, overseas it's a huge thing. It's not a huge thing in America, but overseas it's a huge market, and international players thrive. Like, I told him about Sekou. I told him about I told him about like Christian Wood, Jaren Jackson, all these other players at the beginning of the year in October. And by the time coronavirus happened and everyone was let go, he made, you know, quite a couple bucks off me because of the card market.
That's cool, man.
But I don't know how coronavirus affected that.
Yeah.
But before it was huge overseas.
That's awesome. That's cool though. That's actually really cool.
Get a Sekou card and try to sell it to someone in France, and you will make a lot of money.
I'm glad there is still a market for it somewhere, because I definitely, like, I still have somewhere at my parents' house, like, bins full of NFL cards, and then I still have boxes full of the, like, Topps 92 baseball cards. Never really got into NBA on them, but I guess obviously the third huge collection that I still have is I still have like all my original Pokemon cards.
I do too.
So like that's the extent. That's the extent of my card collecting. Like, I don't know, probably like 2001-ish is probably collecting Pokemon cards, and that's probably the last time I actually like sought them out or went to card stores. I remember that being huge as a kid, though. Like going to the card store and like. Like, I miss it, so I'm glad it's happening somewhere in the world.
That's cool. That's a really good question, and thank you for Grant for having that knowledge. That's awesome. I like being proved wrong.
Yes, definitely look up an international player that has a card and hold on to the card for a while. A guy like Sekou is going to play. He's going to have Freedom next year in Detroit. They will pay a lot for those.
Cool. Okay, next question comes from our friend, and I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, Rutuch. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, dude. Correct me in the comments later, please, so I can get it right next time. Predict Luka's stat line in his first ever playoff series, considering Clippers, Denver, or the Rockets as the opponent. I think it's probably going to be like 20-10 and like 9, you know, something like that. You know, I think it's a pretty general like stat line. It's not very specific, but I don't want to go into specifics because I hate being wrong. So.
I think his first series will average a triple-double because we're gonna stomp on the Thunder, Nuggets, or Rockets, whoever we play.
Especially if it's the Rockets, every game's probably going to be like 150, 130 Mavs.
Just high-scoring games.
Yeah, if it's the Rockets, then I could see like a 28, 12, and 10 kind of deal. If it's like the Clippers, I don't know, maybe closer to that like 28 and 6 or something just because they have so many guys that they can throw at them, but
yeah.
Clippers. So I'll say like Nuggets, Rockets, or Thunder, and I'll go. I'd say, I guess, for a final prediction, I'd go like 25-11-9 because, you know, who knows with stuff like this. Okay. I do think he's a guy that's going to like rise to the occasion and like isn't going to be intimidated by playoff basketball just because he has that experience over in Europe. Like, he knows big games and rough environments, which I guess he doesn't even have to worry about the environment part right now, but. Yeah, I don't think we have a guy that's gonna like have to adjust to how big the moments are.
Yeah,
and definitely because it's such a weird year for him to thrive. And for me, for Luka, I don't care if his points per game dips a little behind below 28. If he can get his 3-point field goal up his field goal percentage up, I think that's more important for the Mavs.
I think so too. I agree with that. Okay, Oscar asked me a question specifically. He says, are you going to talk about how you were snubbed out of the Knicks GM position? Which, again, is like my bit on Twitter where I'm like, oh, my God, like I didn't get the job for the GM or the coach or whatever. Like, you know, whatever. It's hilarious. You know, I wish the Knicks well. Wish all my haters well. but really, it is what it is. Like, I hope eventually they do turn around that team, because it's such a historic team. Like, they need something. So, it is what it is, man.
Until they hire us, they're not going to go very far.
I don't know, man. You have anything to contribute to that, Tim?
Not really, but I did just see that Alonzo Trier always makes me laugh, because do you guys know he was going to be better than Luka in the pros?
I don't want to bring that up, bro. Yeah,
you
got
so,
every time I see that name.
I've got two sort of announcements that happened while you're recording this. Is there any more questions?
One more.
Okay. Well, I'll say it after.
Okay, cool. Okay. So last question comes from Sun_Colin. He asks, I'm biased, but I do see a path to the title for us. What would our seed and path have to be for me not to sound like a raging homer? It's really weird because I think this year is like the one year where like seeding may not matter too much in terms of like who advances. Obviously, you have to be in it, but you know, like there's so many different variables. Like, have guys been working out? Like, how like in some guys they start off slow, like in the playoffs, or they start off slow in the season. You know, like basically they had 3 months off. They have to restart. You know, come back. Honestly, dude, I think anything can happen. It's like. literally anything can happen, bro. Like, a 7 seed can, us as a 7 seed could definitely, like, maybe make it to the finals or the, you know, Western Conference finals or something, dude. Like, I see a path, but I think everything has to, like, line up exactly. And it doesn't help that we have guys who are on a roster who aren't, who won't be able to play because they're injured. We can't really sign anyone else new. I mean, I see it, but I think, like, Luke has to go nuclear. I think KP has to go nuclear. And I think that Tim has to, like, has to remember what his role is for us, you know? I think if those three guys, like, do what they need to do and everyone else does their role well, I think I could totally see us winning the finals.
I think as long as we can stay away from the LA Clippers in the first round, we have a path. But me personally, I would like to see us play the Thunder or maybe the Jazz, but definitely the Thunder or the Nuggets, just because the basketball will be so fun. And I want to get my vengeance on the Thunder for 2012 and 2015.
I respect that.
But there's definitely that.
I mean, I guess this year with, like, so many variables in play, like, you can carve out a path for a lot of different teams. I think our almost easiest, but if you had to make it the most likely, is do really well in these first, sneak up into that top four, only have to face, like, one of the LA teams. And for us, I think definitely prefer for that to be the Lakers. And then just, just get really, really hot with Luka, KP, and two or three other guys and get momentum going. I'd be interested to see, like, our odds honestly probably aren't a whole lot different to what they were in 2011 going into the playoffs. And that doesn't really – that speaks more to, like, how we were pretty much an afterthought in 2011. Like, not so much what people think of us now, but, I mean, yeah, we've seen it with this franchise, how kind of crazy shit's happened before. So just have your best players fall at the right time. And, you know, catch a couple breaks here and there. And I think it's as wide open as it's ever going to be. A lot of teams can do this year. And I think that's why a lot of teams were so eager to get there.
For us specifically, I think impossible. For us specifically, I think KP and Luka are going to show up, you know, they might have a couple bad games here and there, but if Dorian Finney-Smith, Tim Hardaway, Seth Curry, and Maxi Kleber can play as well as they were playing right before coronavirus, then we have a legit chance.
Yeah, bro. Like, I think we have a good chance at this. And those are all the questions we have this week, guys. So I think Grant had an announcement or two to make.
Yeah, so this is from Sam_Amick, I think is how you pronounce Amick. He tweeted about 30 minutes ago that apparently the 8 other teams that aren't in the bubble are planning on doing their own bubble and playing. What? I don't know what for or why, but apparently that is being proposed right now.
I guess.
I don't know. I just let the teams that lose go to the draft, but go to the lottery. But this is from at Keith Smith NBA from 16 minutes ago. The updated 2020 NBA championship odds per Bet Online is the LA Lakers. They have a 9-4 chance of winning. I don't know what their odds were before. The Bucks have 3-1. Clippers have 7-2. Houston is 10-1. Boston 15-1. Philly and Toronto 22-1. And then Denver's 30-1. And then that's where the Mavs, Heat, and Jazz all have 40-1 odds.
Ooh, man.
So I don't know what our odds were going in 2011 either, but
we can make some money, bro.
Yeah, that's well, I don't doubt the Lakers are probably going to win though. If I had to put money on it,
Well, that's good.
I mean, 40-1, just take my money right now. 40-1, let's do it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Let's just see what happens. Okay, let's get weird with it, dude. But
if any team is going to make an upset in the Western Conference, I think it's either us or Denver, if you consider that upsetting. But I think it's one of those two. I don't think, like, the Thunder or the Jazz or Rockets really have what it takes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's going to wrap it up
for today. If you want to make some real money, though, Washington is 1,000-1 odds.
1,000-1, holy shit. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today, guys. Again, we appreciate you guys interacting with us on Twitter. If you like what you hear, obviously you can subscribe to us. I think we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Art19 even. You can download straight from them, I think. Leave us a review for on Apple Podcasts. let us know what you think. Even you can even contact us directly. Like, you can DM any one of us and give us feedback or things you like, things you think we can improve on and stuff like that. We really appreciate you guys listening every week. We're almost back to the NBA time. So, yeah, and that's going to be it for today, folks. So have a good day.
Bye. Thank you.
Take it easy, guys. Go Mavs.
All right, guys. So I kind of lied. There is more to this podcast, obviously. As you guys know, we've been doing fan podcasts, and this is another one. I am a friend, AJ Stamps. I'm sure if you look through my friends, you could probably find him on Twitter. Really cool dude. You know, we actually had some technical difficulties beforehand where it took like an hour to figure out the problem. Reddit Mavs GF, my fiance, figured it out. So thank God for her, because I would have never done it. So hope you guys enjoy it. You know, it's a good little talk. You know, again, if you want to be on the podcast sometime, let me know. I just think that it's really cool to kind of get kind of, you know, everybody involved. You know, this is what this is for me, is it's a good little podcast for everybody to enjoy, for everybody to get involved if they want to. Like, so yeah, just enjoy that. And yeah, have fun. All right, guys. So here I am with another special fan edition of the podcast. I'm here with my good friend, AJ. How are you doing today, man?
Man, I just got called a good friend by Reddit Mavericks, I think. That's the highlight of my week so far.
Oh, that's sad.
Just made me Twitter famous by proxy.
I mean, maybe, man. I'm not Twitter famous myself, so, you know, maybe amongst Mavs fans, but, like, overall, like, I'm a small fish in a very big pond.
But, is there any other, like, pond that matters, though, besides Mavericks Twitter?
No. I mean, NBA Twitter, sometimes. It kind of depends. Like, NBA Twitter can be a fun place, depending on what's going on for the day.
And not depending on whatever shows TNT is airing.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, man. So let's just go and get to it, because we spent about an hour trying to get this set up because my fiance figured it out, guys. I had to reset my computer, and which I guess makes sense because I haven't reset my computer. I haven't never turned off my computer in the last, like, year. So I guess that makes
sense. It was a unique bonding process. Like, the two of us never spoken before, trying to figure out the same issue, not being able to hear each other talk.
I know, dude. It was great. It's a good, very quarantine too, man. That's
just perfect. Perfect for the times.
Which, I mean, I don't know when this is going to upload, but as of right now, guys, we're recording this during one of the worst pandemics, like, ever, just because everything is shut down. The NBA isn't back yet. We're recording this towards the end of May. So there may be news coming out where this becomes obsolete, this, you know, where things are going on now. But for right now, all I have is Bundesliga soccer to watch and KBO baseball. So, you know, it is what it is. And I mean, you know, what have you been doing since everything's kind of gone to shit?
I mean, I work in the news, so my life's been kind of the same. They still send us out.
Oh, really?
Instead of going outside crime scene and whatnot, they send us out to block parties so we can record everyone breaking quarantine rules.
Oh, shit. How's that?
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah?
It seems like, for the most part, everyone's kind of doing their part to keep everyone else safe, but you get a couple of idiots here and there.
Yeah, I feel that, man. Like, yeah, here in Dallas, it's, you know, they got really lax with it. And, you know, me and my fiance, like, we haven't really gone out much. You know, we go see her parents, but her parents are older. So we do, like, the social distancing thing where they have a porch in the backyard. So we will sit in the back porch, like, 10 feet away. And they'll be inside with, like, the windows open and stuff like that. So we can talk and stuff. It's so strange. Like, and so, like, my fiance, she captured, like, that moment a couple weeks ago, where it's like, they look like, you know, they're like animals in a cage, and we're like, you know, outside, like, taking pictures of them, and it is such a weird time. So
I know, like, your daughter and her fiance basically looking at you like you're the animals in the cage. Dude, look at the old people.
I know, dude. It's so weird, man. It's just like, but it's what we have to do, you know? Like, they're both, like, at risk, and You know, like, I don't, like, I'm really cautious about, like, washing my hands and, like, what I'm doing when I'm out about. Like, I wear a mask every time I go out, even when I'm driving in my car and stuff like that. And, you know, I get home and, like, I wash my hands real quick. But the thing is, like, we work with, like, we both work for a school district. And so we do have some, like, contact with, like, our coworkers and stuff like that. And again, like, I don't know where they've been. You know, like, I don't know, like, I'm not going to, you know, like, Spanish Inquisition them either. You know, it's like, hey, where were you guys? You know, just like, yeah. So I'm just like,
Last time you wash your hands.
I know.
With light shining on their face.
I know. So I'm just going to, you know, just be cautious about it and just like, until I see the data go down. Like, you know. So during quarantine, besides work, what else have you been doing? Because there's obviously no Mavs basketball. There's like, you know, very little, like, in terms of sports out there right now. So.
I got lucky. Mavs, Fox Sports re-aired all of the Mavericks 2011 run, which was, you know, godsend in this time. But other than that, and I just feel so lame. I've done nothing but like read a book for three and watch just all the anime in the world.
Oh, okay. Which anime have you been watching, man?
I watched Demon Slayer. Okay. Rewatch it, actually, because I'd watch it when it came out, and then now that I'm bored, I'm rewatching everything.
Okay.
Demon Slayer is incredible. You get the AJ stamp seal of approval.
Nice, nice.
For that's worth.
The AJ stamp.
Exactly, the AJ stamp.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, like, it's quarantine. What else are you going to do besides maybe read a book and watch a lot of television?
Right? Like, that's kind of what I've been doing, and, you know, I was starting to train for a 5K in March, and I was like, I had a 5K coming up in, I started training in February, and, like, I kind of, like, got lackluster in March, and then I got postponed, obviously, because of everything going on, and now they're supposedly going to have it again in July, supposedly, but I think if the city of Dallas is like, no, like, we still got to, you know, shut shit down, like, you know, but I was training for that, and last week, I was so bored. I was like, I'm just going to, like, I stopped training for it. So I was just like, I'm just going to start again, like, just in case. Like, I can run this 5K, you know, at the end of July. So I've been doing that, and because I'm a teacher, like, I obviously get summers off, so, for the most part. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just, like, starting next week's my last week, so the week after, I'm going to go ahead and start, you know, training up again and, you know, actually, like, running, like, waking up, like, 6 in the morning and go run and then completely mess up my sleeping schedule if it already wasn't messed up. So.
And this quarantine has ruined my sleep schedule because my work, moved my work schedule so I don't come in till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, shit.
Oh, it's like, get off work around midnight and then I'm just awake till 5 in the morning.
So great, dude. So, like, but. Yeah, man, like, I've, you know, like, my work, so, like, I'm just, like, hanging out, like, there's not a lot I can do besides, like, paperwork at this point, because towards the end of the year anyway, so, like, I'm just, like, sitting there, like, just waiting for, like, parents to, like, call me or, like, email me about something that, like, their kid is, like, you know, but it's the end of the year, and I think most parents are just, like, okay, I'm done, like, you know, we already took grades, like, our last report cards are already turned in, so, you know.
Just a collective, everyone's at, like, they're just done with everything. Everyone's checked out. They're ready for the summer vacation.
Yeah, exactly, you know, which would happen, you know, if school was in session anyway. So, you know, like, physically in session. So, you know, I get it. Like, I know this last week I'd be watching, like, movies and doing, like, end of year stuff, and that's about it. So, moving on, how did you become a Mavs fan in the first place?
Oh, man, so. I live in Oklahoma now, but I grew up in West Texas. I grew up in Amarillo, of all places.
Okay.
So, when you're in Texas, obviously the culture is nothing's better than Texas, which is true. I mean, growing up in the mid-2000s, who else are you supposed to like? I mean, sure, Houston's whatever for them. Like, it's really, you had the Mavericks or the Spurs to choose from, because they're both these 50-win dominant teams. And my dad, the earliest memory I could have of him, he'd always tell us, like, your grandmother's German, you gotta, like, respect that culture, etc. And when he told me about Dirk Nowitzki, was this big 7-foot German basketball player. I was like, oh, hey, I always say I'm German. I want to watch the German guy play.
Easy. So, easy choice, yeah.
Easy money. And do you know how easy of a choice? Like, once you say, yeah, Dirk Nowitzki is going to be my favorite player, it's just like, it's 2 decades of excellence that you get to enjoy. Like, it's the easiest sports decision in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're saying you like the Cowboys, where you're going to be disappointed at the end of the year. You got Dirk Nowitzki's doing something incredible every night.
Exactly. Exactly. Just basketball is just better to me. So, I mean, of course, I run a fucking, you know, Mavericks account. So,
but, yeah, it helps.
Right, exactly. So, what's your favorite memory? And you can go easy and obviously pick the big one, or, you know, you can pick something a little different if you want. So,
okay, so obviously the favorite memory is 2011. So let's skip that one, because otherwise every fan question would be the same. I don't know if you remember this, but there's an Asian basketball player that played for the Mavericks like in 2012, 13. And like Yi Xiangling.
Yes.
I don't know if I pronounced his name right. Every time he would go onto the court, he was like the 15th man on the roster. So he'd go in like once every 5 games and play 2 minutes.
Yes.
Every time he went in without fail, every single fan would stand up and yell, "Yee!" all throughout the stands.
Oh, man.
And in 2000.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
No, I was like, I remember that guy, man. Like, that's a blast from the past. Like, it's weird, though, because, like, I feel like we all, like, latch on to, like, those bench warmers, like, for some reason, like.
This year was Ryan Brokhoff.
Yeah, God, everyone. I
don't. It's worth it, right?
Yeah. Anyway. So,
2012, met my very first Mavericks basketball game ever. I'm thinking, like, I'm 16 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
My dad, me to the basketball game in Oklahoma City. So they're playing the Thunder, and Yi Xiangli walked in the last 3 minutes of the game, and all the Mavericks fans who were up in the nosebleed section of Chesapeake Arena stood up and yelled "Yee!" And there's like maybe like 50 of us, but like it lit up the entire, like you could hear it throughout the entire stadium, and all the Thunder fans were just looking at us like, what the fuck are these guys doing?
That's going, awesome. Yee. That is awesome, dude.
I think that's my favorite, like, memory from, like, at a game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That experience. And, like, when you're in Oklahoma City, like, I think they care a lot more about that rivalry than Maverick fans do, because they were not happy that we were enjoying having a good time.
Well, I mean, like, Oklahoma is right there, so, you know. I know a lot of people who take that drive up there for a game, so.
I mean, my biggest shame as a Mavericks fan is that I've never been to a Mavericks game in the AAC.
Dude.
Every Mavericks game I've been to is in San Antonio or Oklahoma City.
Dude, you gotta come. You gotta come out.
Well, I'm trying to. So right now my plan is to move to DFW summer.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to, like. Also, I might just buy Mavericks season because my first year there. Who knows? Just.
Dude,
go all in, right?
Yeah, right now would probably be the best time to do it, too, because I think in a couple years, those are going to go up in price. So.
And now, before Luka and KP put the. Make it too much. Like, make everyone else do
exactly. Exactly. Even though, like, this year, like, I definitely saw the uptick in, like, ticket prices. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, yeah, we're good again. So, that makes sense. So. What was your favorite moment from this season so far? Assuming that the season comes back and, you know, everything's good. But.
Favorite moment from this season? I don't know. I think the first time, like, seeing Luka and KP on the court together.
Okay.
Because that was, like, the preseason.
Yeah.
And just, like, that sudden realization that, holy shit, like, we're going to be good again. What was it, like 11 straight seasons where the Mavericks won 50 plus games?
Yeah, dude, something crazy. Yeah,
like, and that's my entire basketball life. Like, the Mavericks winning 50 games, going deep into the playoffs, winning that championship. Then the last 3 years, like 30 wins, 27 wins, whatever you have. And now, like, to the realization that, hey, shit, we're going to be in the playoffs for the next decade plus, and we have these two wonder kids who are just balling out and making my favorite team must-watch television again. That kind of feeling, it That's something that was incredible about the season, like just seeing the start of something that you think is going to be big.
I mean, man, it's a great feeling too, to kind of, you know, to know like, hey, like the future's here now. Like we're not walling away. Like I'm telling you, man, like when they're talking about, you know, when they're talking about, hey, like we're going to keep Dennis Smith Jr. and like draft like Wendell Carter Jr., which Wendell Carter Jr. is a good player, right? But he's not Luka. So, so like I was like fine, like I was like okay fine, like this is gonna be what I gotta do, like I'm gonna have to like shill for these guys, you know, the entire time they're here, cause that's the brand or whatever. And now it's like, no, actually, like I get to shill for, you know, Luka, who is an MVP candidate, and then KP, who is coming back into form as being like the unicorn and all this stuff. It's just a great feeling, you know.
So nice, like not being able to like say it. It's nice not having the best thing to happen to you in the last year being signing DeAndre Jordan.
Oh yes, like, absolutely, yeah.
Like when signing a 32-year-old washed-up DeAndre Jordan is the highlight of your offseason. That's when you know you're towards the bottom.
Yeah.
Dude, now that we don't have to worry about that being our highlight, like it's a good time.
Yeah, like hey, if we traded, you know, Dennis Smith and you know some other.
Oh, that's gonna be something.
Some other parts.
15 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
15 years. What are our Dennis Smith jerseys going to be worth?
I don't know, man. I don't have one. So, you know, I didn't get on that. I just, like, I feel really, like, Luka was the first one where I was, okay, like, I have to get this one. So, I have a real Dirk, a real Luka, and then a fake Boban. So, I bought a fake statement edition of Boban's. But for Boban,
I love that, and I love it.
It's what I wear to games, dude. Honestly, like it's the one I prefer to wear. It's like going up to the, because no one else has it, like in the stands usually. So, and everybody's like, "Oh my god, you have Boban!" I'm like, "Yeah, I have Boban. Like, why not? Like, I love Boban."
And anytime someone asks me who my favorite basketball player is, they like tell them Boban, because of course it's probably Luka or KP or Maxi or whoever.
Yeah.
I'm telling people like Boban Marjanovic is my favorite basketball player, and it's not even really that big of a lie, because the dude is just so much fun to have on your team.
He's so fun, like, yeah, dude. He just like social media wise, and just like you can tell like when they're on, like when they're on the bench, like they're having fun, which is like, which to me is like the best sign in the world of like a good basketball team is like having fun, you know.
You have Dwight Powell throwing down an alley oop in the entire. Inches off and onto the floor. It's incredible, like watching everyone have fun.
So we kind of talked about it a little bit, but what is your what's your outlook on this team, whether it be like this year with the playoffs, assuming they happen, or next year and beyond? What's your outlook for them?
Well, clearly your outlook is championship. Like when you have two foundational pieces like that, you have to look towards winning it all. Like just on a smaller scale, just if they can finally break through that barrier and sign some big free agent to Dallas that you didn't have to trade for, I think that'll be cool to watch and see if they can finally get over that hurdle and finally grab one of those top tier guys, whether it be someone like Bradley Beal when his contract's up, or save us, please, honest.
I want the Kimbo. Dude, I want Bradley Beal so bad. Like y'all,
his fit.
Like Giannis for me is like the guy, like the ultimate, like, hey, like we have the guy, but I mean, I just don't see him leaving Milwaukee yet. So, you know,
I think I have to disappoint him a little too much. Like if he keeps dragging them to the playoffs and they keep losing, then maybe he'll leave.
Yeah.
He just seems like he reminds me kind of like a Dirk. Like he wants to stay in a place and make it his own.
Yeah. So,
man, Bradley Beal, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, those two guys are like my top two. Like, hey, these are the guys that I want to bring in. Like, you know, yeah, those are the two guys. I'm just like, it'd be perfect for us. So,
because Bradley Beal would be like, how much space is too much space for shooting?
Exactly. It's so good, dude. I'm so excited. I will be excited when that happens, because I think something's gonna. I think Donnie's gonna do something. So.
Dude, Donnie's so crafty too. Like, look at the roster he put together in the last 2 years. Like Maxi Kleber and Seth Curry for like Dwight Powell for these incredibly cheap contracts, and
it's so
all good. Of them make these significant plays.
I know, we got Maxi and Dodo for like 3 years for like scraps, you know, like comparatively, but
I mean, still, what is it, like 7 million total for Maxi over the next couple of years? It's so insane. Good, and the dude's stalwart on defense.
Yeah, dude. So if you ever listen to the podcast, when we don't have guests, we usually do questions. We take questions from people on Twitter or whatever, emails, whatever. So what I've done is I've picked out 5 different questions, just at random mostly. I didn't try to pick 2 ones that are like way out there, kind of pressing. So, because right now it's not the time. But I picked some out, just to get your opinion on them. And I will try to remember my question. I'll try to remember some of my answers, and maybe my answers may have changed since then or something like that. So, okay. So first question comes from Trey Raldon. So he asked, and I think he might have been high when he wrote this, but how much longer until we make contact with aliens?
Oh, shit, man. Who's to say that we haven't already?
Ah, see, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, I feel like I might have already. Like,
I don't want to get all ancient aliens on everyone here, but I mean, let's be real. Like, I'm not saying like it's some like conspiracy, like governments in contact with aliens, like Men in Black style, but who are we to say that along the way someone hasn't encountered an alien here?
That's a good answer, man. I like that one. All right. Next question comes from Tyler Mavericks. Other than obvious players like Rondo, who is your least favorite Maverick of all time?
East favorite? Oh, that's hard.
I know, right? Yeah, I had to go way back for this one. I had to go back. Wait. I had to go back pre like me being happy all the time. So
like, just some like I name any generic player that played for the Mavericks over the last 4 years whose names I don't remember.
Nick Brusino, yeah. Okay, yeah. Just like
hey, oh my god, Derek Fisher, he's obvious.
Yeah, Derek Fisher, obvious. Yeah. Lamar was pretty obvious too. So,
those ex-Lakers that for some reason,
excuse me,
brought back.
Oh yes,
those ex-Lakers we brought. Like we swept them in 2011, so they wanted to join our team.
Yeah. So,
I honestly don't have an answer for this. Like, I haven't thought about my least favorite Maverick in a while. If you had asked me like in September, I probably would have said Tim Hardaway Jr.
At the very beginning, just like before he like became like a serviceable third option. Like
a sniper from beyond the arc. Where'd that come from, Timmy? Like, great.
I mean, I feel like a lot. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like a lot. Frank, of that, excuse me.
Oh no, you go ahead, man.
Oh, I was saying that I feel like a lot of that's because like with like the Hawks and the Knicks, like he was like the first option, like second option. You know, like he can't be that every night. You know, he can be that when like Kristaps and Luka are taking the day off, you know, but
yeah,
like he can't be that every night. There's some nights where he can and he'll be like good at it, but no, like
honestly, I think it's a huge testament to like Rick Carlisle and his ability to skip guys into the best position to succeed. Is Hardaway, like, sure, he's knocking these down at a 40% clip, but he is so open.
All the time.
Like the ball movement this year has been incredible, and the looks him and KP and Seth get from Luka are just fun to watch. It's incredible basketball.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from She's a Maverick. What is your favorite dessert?
Oh, I'm a big sweets guy. I eat desserts all the time. My roommate will come home, and I'll be like cooking cookies at 2 a.m. I have to go with like blackberry cobbler, probably.
Oh, okay.
The cobbler's super hot, and you put some ice cream, like vanilla homemade bluebell ice cream on top. Yes. Nothing's better than that.
That's perfect. That's a good answer. That's a really good answer. I'm hungry now, dude. I need to go get dinner soon. Or not a dinner, lunch. We're recording this at like 11, guys. next question is from Luis Fur. He asks, and I'm more going to add a caveat because I know the answer to this one already. But
okay. If
you could add a Mavs player of the past to this team, who would it be? And it cannot be Dirk.
Oh, well, yeah. So this team, okay. If I say like Vince Carter, we get like prime Vince in this. You know, Vince running the pick and roll back
Yes, you can have
man half amazing days.
Yeah,
catching love from Luka or I don't know. Vince Carter's probably my favorite on Dirk Mav of the last 15 years.
Yeah, dude, he's up there for me. He's like, he's probably number like 3, I think, right now. So I love that dude.
And yeah. This card, I loved having him on the team, especially because like when he was on the Mavericks and when I was first able to start going to games.
Yeah.
In the 2000, like immediately post championship is when I was old enough to start driving to Oklahoma City and going to Maverick games. And Vince Carter was just so much fun for me. He was one of my favorite kids as a kid, and then getting to watch him on the Mavericks transition this old leader.
Yeah. Which, it's so great.
Then that San Antonio game winning 3, are you kidding me?
Dude, I think about that shot like every couple of days. Like I'm just like, oh yeah, I should watch that. You know, like watch that replay. You know, just get my
I love. In. I mean, I know you don't want to like talk about like moral victories, but the fact that the Mavericks took that San Antonio team to 7 games, then they ended up beating the Heat in the finals in just 6. I always thought it was like, damn, that team was so good.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's crazy. Like the parts that we had on that team, and just like. We somehow almost won that series, dude. Of course, like what ended up happening is obviously like that last game is not very competitive, but you know, just like we ran out of steam, which happens, and you know. But I mean, that whole series was really fun, and I think that cemented Vince Carter as like one of my favorites of all time. So,
yeah. And will help like you realize just how good a coach Carlisle can be.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is best. So.
All right. So last question comes from Hoops. There it is. They ask, if you were forced to get a Dallas Mavericks theme tattoo after recording your podcast, what would you get?
Oh man, I think I'd go with that classic green and blue logo with the Mavericks M wearing the cowboy hat.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd go like retro, the retro logo, I think.
God, I love that look. I love that look so much.
I can't believe we went away from the green. I mean, obviously that's the biggest complaint Mavericks Twitter seems to have all the time, is that we don't wear enough green. Really, though, it's so different from the other jerseys of the Western Conference, especially now that Seattle's in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, they're coming back next year, though, so.
Green it back, baby.
They're coming back next year. I'm so excited. Yeah, man. So that's all the questions I have. You know, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I know we had such a hard time trying to get things set up. So I appreciate you just being patient with me, and ended up being my fiance figuring out exactly how to fix this. So, you know, shout out to her.
Brandon Maverick's fiance.
I know. She's changing her hat pretty soon once we get married, but.
No longer girlfriend.
Yeah, no longer girlfriend. But yeah, man, again, thank you so much. Do you have anything you want to plug in real quick or anything before we end the recording?
I'm not cool enough to have any special personal projects right now, but honestly, thanks for having me on, man. I look forward to listening to the pod, see how it turned out, make sure I don't sound too dumb.
Don't worry, you don't. I sound dumb every day, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's just a state of being for guys like us.
Exactly. But yeah, man.
Thanks for having me on, dude. I really look forward. I know I'm moving to the Fort Worth, Dallas Fort Worth area soon, and I really hope I get to go to some of these Mav meetups and watch the games with other fans.
Yes, I'm so excited for that. Just let me know when you're up here, man. Or like down here so we can hang out after for safe to go outside. So, but
when the world's back to semi normal.
Yeah. All right, man. So with that, I will see you guys later. Have a good day.